In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of people talking about justice these days. Social justice, racial justice, climate justice. A lot of people talking about justice, and whatever side of the political aisle or wall you on which you might find yourself, no matter what you think the government should do or not do, or what we should do or not do about any of these things, the fact that people continue to cry out for justice tells us at least one thing: that things are not the way they should be. Things are not the way that they should be. Now, we may disagree, we do, politically at least, disagree about what that should be looks like. As far as Christians are concerned, the should be of things is the way God created them. The way He made His creation to work and to function, the way He made us to be in His creation. That's how things should be. His will, His commandments, His law built into this creation. That's how it should be. And we can all agree that things are not the way they should be. Things are not the way they should be in the creation. Things are not the way they should be with us. We can look around us and see all around us the evidence of injustice. The fact that people are not treated the way that they should be treated. Children, whether it's in holding cells or in the womb, those who are helpless and vulnerable, the extremely old and the extremely young, all around us we can see evidence of injustice. And we too cry out for justice. We cry out that God would make things right again. Jesus tells us a parable about a woman crying out for justice, a widow crying out for justice, and the only one to whom she has to cry out is an unjust judge. She cries out for justice to an unjust judge. Being a widow, she has no one else in the parable to cry out for her. She has no one, nowhere else apparently to turn, so she continues to come back to this judge and say, "Give me justice against my adversary." In the world of the parable, Jesus doesn't tell us who the adversary is, doesn't tell us the nature of the justice that she is seeking, but we know that the word adversary originally means something like a person who comes into court with an accusation, a person who brings the case into court. That's the adversary. Literally means someone who stands opposite of justice, perhaps opposite of the judge bringing the case. But in this case, the adversary stands opposite of her receiving justice. We don't know who the adversary is, but Peter tells us that our adversary is the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Our accuser, the one who brings a case of sin against us before God. She cries out for justice over and over and over. Not someone who's just bringing a case against her, but the oppression is ongoing. The injustice is ongoing for her. And the judge in the parable, Jesus says, he doesn't fear God and he doesn't care about people. In other words, he's not religious and he doesn't care what the voters think. He gives out his justice as he chooses. He dispenses it when and where it pleases him. He doesn't care what God says is right. He doesn't care what people say is right. And at first, he turns a deaf ear to this widow. But eventually, he gets tired of her badgering him, coming over and over and over and saying, "Give me justice." He gets tired of it, and it's almost like he's just trying to get rid of her. If I give her justice, then maybe she'll leave me alone. In fact, he says, "If I don't give her justice, she may come and give me a black eye." Now, whether the black eye is literal or figurative, I don't know. But in order to get rid of her, he says, even though I don't care about what God says and I don't care what people say, I'm going to give her justice so she won't keep coming here to me. Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen to what the unjust judge says. Jesus tells this parable, Luke says to us, he tells this parable so that we ought always to pray and never to give up. We ought always to pray and never to give up. This woman is offering her prayers, her requests, to a judge who at first refuses to hear her, doesn't want anything to do with her, but she keeps praying and praying and praying, and she does not give up. She does not lose heart. Jesus says, hear what the unjust judge says. He's going to give her justice. But hear all the more what your judge says, who is not unjust. This isn't a picture of God, that he is unjust, and if you badger him enough, he'll give you what you want. God is not an unjust judge. He is the judge of all the earth, and as Abraham says, will not the judge of all the earth do rightly? God will do what is right. God is not an unjust judge. He is our dear Heavenly Father who invites us to pray to him as children ask their father. But sometimes he can appear to be an unjust judge. Sometimes he can appear to be like this judge in the parable, as if he has turned a deaf ear or a blind eye to us. As if we could cry out and cry out and cry out and we would hear no answers. Perhaps it's happened to you. You asked God and asked him and asked him, and nothing happened. At least not what you thought should happen. But Jesus says, this is so that we will always pray and never give up, because we know the one to whom we are praying. Regardless of how things appear, even if the heavens appeared as if there was a stone slab and God could not hear us, even if it appears as if he's turned a deaf ear to us, we know the one to whom we are praying because God has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. We know the one to whom we are praying, even if it doesn't seem like he is a just judge sometimes. We know the one to whom we are praying. And when God sent his justice, another way to translate that is righteousness. When God sends his justice, his righteousness, into the world in flesh, what do people do? Do they say, thank God our justice has come now? No. People were probably crying out for justice then. They were crying out for justice against the Roman Empire, crying out for justice in their oppression or the injustice they saw around them. And what do they do when God's justice appears? Well, some of them may have ignored him. Others tried to co-opt him for their own causes. They tried to make him king when he changed, when he multiplied the fish and the loaves. But what they did, what we have done, is crucify God's justice. He comes to bring justice to the earth, and people kill him. This is how bad it is. It's not just bad because there's injustice in the world. It's worse than that. When justice appears, we say, no, I don't want that, and we kill him. That's how bad it is in this world. That's how unjust it is, that God himself in the flesh could be unjustly crucified. But this is, in fact, how God gets his justice done. In the injustice of people, God does his justice. In the unrighteousness of people, God gets his righteousness done. He raises Jesus from the dead. This is how we know who hears us. This is how we know the one to whom we are praying, because we have seen his mercy on the cross. We've seen his justice in the righteousness in the flesh of Jesus. We have seen him. He has been raised from the dead. We know the one to whom we are praying. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, this is certainly a warning to those who want to continue to do injustice, certainly a warning to those who don't care about those who are oppressed. Widows and orphans are all throughout the Scriptures, and God cares for them. But even more, in the context of what Jesus is saying, will the Son of Man find those who have not given up? Will he find those who have not grown weary? Will he find those who continue to trust that what God says is true, even when it doesn't look like it? This is so we ought always to pray and never give up, because our Lord is the judge of all the earth, and he does what is right. He does justice. He does righteousness, and he does it for you. Will not your God do justice for his chosen ones, for you? Will he not do it speedily? Will he not do it without delay? Now, of course, to us, God's without delay often appears as a delay. To us, God's speedily often appears as slowness. But remember Peter, what he says, God does not count slowness the way we count slowness. What we consider to be God's slowness in acting is not slow at all. How long did Israel have to wait for the Messiah? How long? Thousands of years. We talked about Habakkuk, how he had to wait 600 years. They had to wait thousands of years for the Messiah to come. Was God slow in bringing his Messiah? Was God delaying in bringing his salvation? No. In the fullness of time, which God created, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman and born under the law, to buy back those who were under the law. God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He does what he says. This is why you can trust him. This is why you continue to cry out for justice, for God to make things right. This is why the church always prays, "Come, Lord Jesus." Because we know the one in whom we have trusted. And we know that however long it seems to us, God will act. We're not praying to governments. We're not praying to judges. We're not praying to ourselves. We're praying to the God of the whole universe, the one who has done his work in Christ and who will finish it. And when the Son of Man comes on the earth, will he find faith? Yes, because he preserves it himself. Today, you may look around at the world, you may look in your lives and your families, you may see injustice. You may see things where it appears as if God has not acted and will not act. You may become discouraged. You may want to give up. Today, he sustains you with the assurance of his promise. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Today, he gives you his risen body and blood, so that you will not give up, so that you will continue to pray, so that you will continue to trust him. Will he find faith on the earth? Yes, because it's the faith on the earth that longs for and cries out for the day when it will be on earth as it is in heaven. The one who promised is faithful. He will surely do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.